7. We live in a day when independent Baptists don't have a very good name. And a lot of times we're seen as being very judgmental. And Matthew chapter 7 addresses judgmental attitudes. And we're going to talk about judgment tonight, and then we're going to talk about love. Next week, or the week after, next week, of course, will be the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And so we might take time just to thank the Lord. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Let's pray. Father, tonight we know that we are people of passion and, Lord, of pride and of strong-headedness. And, Father, that we're people that have hearts that are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But we know also, Lord, that because we've been born again, that our hearts can not be wicked, that as we yield to you, that we can not be deceived, and, Lord, that we don't have to be proud and hypocritical. And Lord, help us to know the fine line between being very judgmental in a wrong way and then holding to the truth. Lord, we desire today, most of all, not to be at odds with you and not to be upset you. And Lord, if it comes to offending men or offending you, then surely, Lord, we don't want to offend you. And we don't really want to offend men, but we do want to stand for the truth. And so, Lord, help us to listen tonight and to listen to your Spirit. And, Lord, to cut your word straight. And, Father, to align our lives up with your word and not try to make your word align with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you today a question, of course, to cause you to think, but are you personally unloving and judgmental? Is Black Road Baptist Church made up of individuals like you and I, a judgmental and unloving church? Mrs. Adams made a call this week, and someone seemed to indicate that we were. In the passage before us, the Bible clearly states here in verse 1, judge not. And some might say to you and I as members of the church, you preach separatism. What about unity? And you preach about heresy, but what about love? At one time, there was a very influential evangelist in America by the name of Jack Van Impe. He was a Baptist, a Southern Baptist, I believe, and he was a strong evangelist back in the early 60s. Jack Van Impe moved from where he once was, and he wrote this. He said, let's forget our labels and come together in love. The Pope has called for that. I had 400 verses on love. Till I die, I'll proclaim nothing but love for all my brothers and sisters in Christ, my Catholic brothers and sisters, Protestant brothers and sisters, Christian Reform, Lutherans, I do not care what label you are, but by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Well, tonight we're going to deal with judging, and then we're going to deal with love, but is it right to judge? And if it is, when is it right to judge? The passage here in Matthew chapter 7 must be taken in context. And you'll see as he ends there with verse 5 that we read, before we ended reading. He says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out thy beam out of thy own eye." And so this judgment that he's talking about is hypocritical judgment. It's foolish to maintain that Christians are never to make any kind of judgment. You can see in a couple of verses in Luke chapter 7. It cannot mean that all judgment is ruled out. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 14, Luke chapter 7, verse 43. He says, "Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave much. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged." And so he's asking him, you know, who did he forgive the most? And the Lord says, "Thou hast rightly judged." Well, we just have to make decisions and pass judgments. We do it every day. Are we going to do this or that? And with people, we make judgments. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3. Paul wrote here to this church who had this man who was in an adulterous affair with his father's wife. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 and 3, "For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, had judged already, as though I was present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." And so Paul is saying, I've already judged that this is wrong behavior. I want you now to judge that it's wrong behavior and put him out of the church. And so we can't be ruling out all judgments. If you drop back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." And so he says, if we're a sign of being a spiritual person, is to be able to look at things and to pass judgment on those things. Is this right for me to do, or is this wrong for me to do? Is this right? Is this right? Is this activity condemned in the Bible, or is it not condemned in the Bible? And so there is a matter of being able to judge. And in fact, we'll get here later, but he's going to go on down here and talk about judging those that are false teachers. In the principle here then in chapter 7 and verse 5 is about hypocritical attitude. Of course, that word hypocrite, you've heard that explained here before, but it was a word used by the actors, whether they wore a mask or played a part, and it was not really themselves, but they were playing a part. They would also, at that time, they would hold a mask in front of them, had a false face on it, or they would wear a mask, and we get that term, he's two-faced. That he wears one face at one time and another face at another time, and he's a liar. He's hypocritical. He's playing a part. And so this kind of judgment is a nitpicking, hypocritical judgment. The word mote here, when it talks about the mote being in the eye, was a small piece of chaff or some kind of dirt. The beam being a much larger piece of timber, and he's saying that we're passing judgments over small things, just a little piece of dirt in our eye. And so criticism is hypocritical without considering another person's feelings. This kind of criticism and judgmental attitude is characterized with an attitude of superiority. Criticism pointing out all the wrong and not giving credit for the right. Let me give you a good example of this judgmental attitude. Look with me in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 12, verse 1. David had been out on the housetop and saw Bathsheba. Called her to his castle, I don't think he had a castle, but to the king's quarters. had committed adultery, had her husband killed. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, 2 Samuel 12, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. So David has passed judgment. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. What we find here is that David goes beyond what the law requires. Hypocritical judgment goes beyond the Bible. It goes beyond what even the Lord requires. You find here that David, his anger is very great. It's a very harsh judgment. And I think sometimes when you find very critical people, what lies at the back of that is exactly what lied at the back of David's criticism and harshness, and that is he had unconfessed sin. And so it was better to criticize others than to confront his own sin. And he is very critical. This is a judgment that is hypocritical. Because he has a beam in his own eye, he can't really see the issues that need to be seen. Some symptoms of hypocritical judgment is in our spirits, we're rather pleased when we hear something unpleasant about another. And so if we ever find ourselves where there's someone that we don't like, or someone that's done us wrong, or someone that we just want to be kind of judgmental about, and when we hear that they've fallen into hard times, if we don't grieve over that, if we have a little bit of happiness and joy in us, then know that there's a hypocrite rising up in you. That kind of judgment is wrong. When we take our prejudices and make them principles. I knew of a preacher in Tennessee who believed that it was wrong to wear beards. And he took his preferences and he made them to be principles of God's word, when there's nothing in God. If there's anything in God's word, it commends the growing of beards. And so when we take our own preferences and make them a standard where we judge other people, then that's hypocritical judgment. We can't be doing that. A judgment that is another sign that I'm guilty of this judgmental attitude that's wrong is time after time I want to express my own opinion without the knowledge of the facts. We need to get to the bottom of the facts. This judgment cares not to learn of the circumstances. I don't care what happened. But he's not prepared to listen. He cares not. There actually may be an excuse and a reason. He rejects any explanation, refuses to listen any argument or reason. This judgment pronounces judgment on the person that is not judgment upon what they say or did, but judgment upon the person. And so the principle of this passage, number one, is simply this, as the Lord says, don't be hypocritically judging others. Don't do that. Don't try to put yourself up as the man of the hour who God has appointed to be the judger over all people. The second principle in this passage is this, and I wish I had better illustration. I'll just point it out to you, and you can try to apply it yourself. But when we judge in a hypocritical fashion, know that in some fashion, in some way, we're going to be judged wrongly. He says here, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so this judgment is going to come back on us. Principle three here is this judgment of others needs to be preceded with self-searching. He says here in verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, cast out the beam out of thy own eye." And so he says, you know what you need to do before you start checking off things wrong with other people? You need to go take a good look at yourself and the thing that's in your eye, the beam that's in your eye, the problems in your life you need to deal with. Because listen, whenever we really pass a judgment on other people, it ought to grieve us, and it ought to be a heart to try to restore them, to try to help them. But when there's a glaring sin in our lives, then we're not going to be very effective in helping other people. David, remember when he'd sinned there with Bathsheba, and after he'd Nathan said, "Thou art the man," and he confessed his sin. He wrote that great Psalms 51, and he asked the Lord to wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And he talks about how that he was shapen in iniquity and in sin did his mother conceive him. And he asked God to purge him with hyssop, and I shall be clean. And he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from thy presence. Restore me the joy of thy salvation." And then he said this, after he made all his confession, then he said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." My point is that until we get the beam out of our own eye, we can't pass judgment on anybody. Our whole thinking is skewed. And David realized that after he'd confessed his sin, then he could be used of God in helping other people. And so, to avoid this judgment, there needs to be a self-searching in our own heart. And then look over in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, the fourth principle is that we have limited insight. John 7 and verse 24. It says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And so, do you know that not everything is what it appears to be? I remember this one preacher telling me he had to work, and he was a timber faller, and he was coming home from work one day, and he had a carrot in his mouth. It was left over from his lunch, and he passed this guy, and I don't know if there's a member of the church or just attended the church, and it was all over town that the preacher was smoking cigars because he saw him smoking cigars coming home from work. Well, it was a carrot in his mouth. And so just what appears to be is not necessarily what it is. And we need to realize that we have a limited insight. We have a limited insight in what people are going through. One of my boys came home visiting at the dinner table the other night and said one of their coworkers was really, really grouchy at work. But he's married and he has 4 or 5 kids, and who knows what's taking place at home? Who knows what he's going through? Who knows what's causing the grouchiness? And I think sometimes if we'll just maybe go a little deeper, you know, I mean, we all work with people, and we all, you know, sometimes there are some people in this life who practice getting up being grumpy. But you know, let's say Jackie's at work and somebody's grumpy and he's biting at Jackie, and Jackie could bite at him, or Jackie could go and say, hey, is everything okay? You know, is there something I can help you with? Because, you know, I'm just saying that we can be very judgmental. And if our judgment is not to try to benefit people, then it is a hypocritical judgmentality. Back in Matthew chapter 7 again, there's a principle of judging that we ought to use wise discernment. Verses 1 through 5 must be looked at in relationship to verse 6. It says in Matthew 7, 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Well, a dog, of course, for the Jews was an unclean animal, and it typified false teachers. And the pig, also an unclean animal that loved to go to the wallow, speaks of one who claims salvation yet remains in his own lifestyle. And the Lord's calling upon us to make some judgment about who are dogs, who are false teachers, and who are false professors of Christ. That we are to look at the fruit of a person's life. John the Baptist, whether you want to call him a Baptist or just the Baptist, he was very critical. I mean, he was very, not critical, but he's very judgmental. He wouldn't baptize people until he could see some fruit of repentance in their life. There needs to be some judgment. The Lord calls upon us to make some judgment. Without healthy judgment, there could be no church discipline. I mean, the Bible calls for church discipline. There could be no pointing out of heresy. If we're going to be true to God's word, we must judge false teachers. There in verse 15 of chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And so everybody comes along and says he's a prophet, and he looks like he's a sheep, but really he's instead of being sheepy, he's wolfy, and he's trying to hurt. We need to listen to what they're saying, and we need to pass judgment upon what they're saying. Oh, sheepy and wolfy. Okay, guys. And then in verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" And so in some ways we are to be fruit inspectors. Now look with me over in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and 17. "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." There is a tendency for groups of people to take the side of the underdog. If there's two people competing for a prize, or two people competing for a game, or a boxing match, or for writing a paper, or singing a song. If one of them has all the advantages of life and another one didn't have much advantage of life and he's had to really work at it, we always take the side of the underdog. I mean, it's kind of, we always root for the underdog most of the time, unless you have a favorite team. And whenever someone is being specifically addressed in a congregation or talked about, people always want to stand up for the person that's talked about. But the Bible here says when it comes to false teaching, we're to mark them. How do we do that? You know, do I just go, get a magic marker and put a check on their head? How do you mark false teachers? And how do you tell people to avoid them? He says here in this passage, again, he says that, verse 17 of Romans 16, I beseech you, so Paul says, I'm pleading with you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to doctrine. And so they're taking a position that's contrary to doctrine, doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. And so what I'm simply saying is this, is that sometimes people need to be specifically pointed out. And it's not necessarily attack upon them, but it's attack upon what they're teaching. And we need to make a discernment as God's people. Because here's what 1st and 2nd Peter and 2nd and 3rd John and Jude all are about: people creeping in unawares. The men come in and they their thing is to win friends and influence people. And people can come into a church in sheep's clothing and they can begin to win over people. But you see, it doesn't matter how nice they are. What matters is if they're introducing false doctrine. Because that kills. And so, he's just saying that we need to mark them and avoid them. And so, our judgment must not be hypocritical. We must be prepared to be judged as we judge. We need to precede any kind of judgment with self-searching and look at the beam that's in our own eye. We need to realize that we have limited insight and need to go deeper than just the surface. We need to use wise discernment as discerning sheep, dogs, and swine from the children of God. And so, what is then the anchor point? I mean, where is the foundation? Where is the point of the compass that we need to work from? Where is the landmark, if we're going to judge right, where is the landmark that we should operate from? What is our foundation for passing any kind of judgment? Well, that's the way my daddy used to do it, so that's good enough. We didn't do it like the church I came from. We didn't do it like that, Pastor. Well, what is the anchor point? What is the cornerstone? What is the survey mark? Well, there has to be a principle of absolute authority. And that's only found in the Bible. I talked to you a little bit about, I don't really relish getting into it, but I've studied more and more about the emerging church, and one of the great tenets of the emerging church is this: there is no absolutes in the Bible. That what you believe could always be open to change. Someone can present to you some kind of new information that would make you change. This is a book of absolutes. You can't understand everything, but listen, it's an absolute fact that Christ died for sinners. It's an absolute fact that cannot be disputed, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's an absolute fact that we must put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. 100%. And so, if I'm going to pass judgment, then I better have my judgment based upon some authority that's greater than my head or my heart. Because I got problems. Look in Psalms 19:9. Psalms 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And when it talks about, this is that whole passage, and we've been in this book, this psalm a lot, but when it talks about the fear of the Lord, it's talking about the Bible. I don't have time to embrace all that, but you see, the law of the Lord is perfect. Verse 7, the statutes of the Lord are right. The fear of the Lord enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. And when he talks about the judgment of the Lord, he's talking about what's encompassed in the Bible. What God judges in the Bible is right and wrong. They're true. 100% true. And they're righteous altogether. Look in Psalms 119. Psalms 119. 1 and 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. What does that mean? Well, if it's going to endure forever, it doesn't change. It doesn't fade away. It doesn't turn itself over. It doesn't turn around. It's the same. It's an absolute. The only thing in this life that's absolute is God's word. And listen, if a person cannot grasp the fact that we may need to make judgments on our own life and judgment with others. We have this anchor point here that we anchor our life to. If we cannot come to the place to understand that God's word is an absolute in its truth, then you've lost your anchor. You've lost your compass. You've lost your center post. You've lost your survey marker. You've lost your way. And ultimately, you'll lose your soul. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The strong meat he's talking about is not caribou killed in September. He's talking about the meat of God's word and how that it gives us reason to have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so judgment has to begin and end with the word of God. This is why we believe this. And open up the scripture and show why we believe what we believe. Okay? Maybe, we'll see, maybe Sunday afternoon I'll preach on love. So you'll see that I'm a very loving person. I don't think I convinced you, did I? All right. Let's do have a word of prayer here tonight for Brother Noah and Brother Demlo and this outreach. We're going to send out, put in the mail tonight or in the morning, 37 letters to introduce our church. And let's just pray that the message in the outreach material might begin to draw people.